want to read. I decided to change. I was going to share with you from Romans 3, but I'm going to read again the gospel lesson. I believe the Lord has a word for us today from these words. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you today as a covenant people. And Lord, we trust you. And when we have been betrayed and when trust is lacking, Lord, it'd be easy for us to feel a sense of distrust even when it comes to you. And Lord, I thank you for the gospel message because it's a reminder to us that we are your children. And we're not children like the children of Abraham who were in denial of the facts, that we're in denial of the truth. But Lord, you want the truth to come into the light so that there can be true forgiveness, true grace. Lord, we want to be free. Free from sin. Free from distrust. Free from the hurts and the grief and the feelings that are just really hard to bear. And Lord, we know it only comes by your grace and through your power. Lord, thank you for the Reformation. Thank you for Martin Luther and his boldness to want to debate things that, like the children of Abraham here, were deceptions, were ideas that kept us removed from that personal relationship with you and the power of your Holy Spirit, the power that can only give us the strength to live and to work through what needs to be worked through. Lord, we are your children. We are a kingdom people. And we know we need your power. And we know that Satan needs to be bound and cast out of thoughts and hearts. And that your truth must reign so that we can be set free. Free indeed. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Probably some of the most famous words that we remember from the Reformation are the words that Martin Luther said as he's brought up on charges and he's asked to recant everything that he had written. Ever watch the Martin Luther movie? I think they take some liberties there, but remember what he said when he was told to recant? "Here I stand." What? "I can do no other." "Here I stand, I can do no other." Isn't that kind of the relationship we have with our Lord? Do we bring anything to him that's righteous? Anything to him that's worthy? And we try, don't we? I think we try. But the truth of the Reformation was that no matter what we try, we fail. Because nothing that we do is ever good enough. That's hard, isn't it? Isn't it hard for us as human beings to accept that what we throw our heart and soul and mind and strength into isn't good enough? I'm telling you, this is not an age to say that. This is an age of relativism. Aren't we living in an age of relativism? How dare we have an absolute? How dare we say this is right and everything else is wrong? That doesn't go over very well. I'll never forget, we homeschool, so this hasn't really happened to us, but I was told one time that it was really discouraging for one mother when her son came home and he had worked so hard. I mean, he had literally spent like every hour of the weekend that he didn't have family responsibilities. He had spent every hour working on this project. He had put his heart and soul into this project. And when he got to school, he found out that the majority, like 99% of the class, had failed to do hardly anything on the project. But because it was inappropriate in the teacher's mind to say that this one was better by far than the other, what did the teacher do? Anybody want to guess? Passed everybody. Now guess what happened the next time the project was due? Pardon me? He basically did the minimum that was required. Why put the extra energy in? Why put the extra time in? Why do all the extra stuff if the result's all the same? I want to tell you something. That's one of the biggest lies that's out there today. It's all the same. It's not all the same. Don't crucify the messenger here. I'm just trying to be honest with you. It's not all the same. I mean, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All sin is the same because no matter how hard we try, are we ever going to be perfect? No. But there are consequences to sin. And some sins have consequences, and the sin may be forgiven, but the consequences of the sin are what remain. And the wonderful truth of the Reformation was that we don't have to do what the Hebrew people did. What did the Hebrew people do here when they came to Jesus and they were kind of questioning what Jesus was saying because he was forgiving people and healing people and doing all kinds of things that made them uncomfortable, similar today. And he was saying that, you know, the only thing that really works is perfection. And what is the options when it comes to perfection? It's either to admit that we're not perfect and fall upon God's mercy, or it is to try to make excuses. So here's a people, this is why I guess I decided to change from speaking to Romans 3, because here's a people that said what? We've never been slaves to anyone. Yeah, who said that? Yeah, way to go, Karen. I mean, don't you think there were people in that crowd that were going, scratching their head going, say what? I mean, if these people were not enslaved to anyone, who were the people that they were scared of that were right in control of Jerusalem at the very time that they're speaking to Jesus? Romans. Do you think you had rights in the Roman Empire if you weren't a Roman citizen? No. And before that, prior to that, who controlled Palestine before the Romans? Anybody know? Well, Babylon did, yes. As a matter of fact, I don't really think I can think of any empire throughout history that hasn't controlled the place, including the British up to 1948, okay? I mean, just think about this. If it wasn't the Ottomans, it was the British. I mean, really. But can we walk around in denial and say something as ludicrous as that when we're trying to justify ourselves? When we don't understand total forgiveness and true grace because we don't understand total repentance and genuine, sincere repentance, could we do what they were doing and try to say, we've never been slaves of anyone? Or could we come up with systems where, yeah, if I say so many of this, and if I do so much of this, and if I do this, and if I do that, then somehow I can make atonement, or I can do something, or I can pay something in order to get forgiveness. I can do it. I can fix it. Would we come up with stuff like that? That's what's happening prior to the Reformation, right? Isn't it easy for us to understand? What I'm trying to do is help you to understand that this has not changed. We can be really hard on the Jews and say, how could they say that? How ludicrous is that? And we could just be really hard on them, but I'll tell you something, it has not changed. It's not changed. And if there's anything that I hope we gain from celebrating Reformation Sunday each and every year, is that we understand it's but by grace that we are saved through faith. It's not by our works, lest any man should boast. That's from Ephesians, by the way. Get you thinking, he didn't read that earlier. I didn't. From Ephesians chapter 2. We're saved by grace through faith. We're justified apart from the law because no matter how hard we try, we cannot keep it. But I just want to say, that is so wonderful. And should we not celebrate the truth that we are free? That we are no longer slaves? Should we celebrate that? That's what we celebrate every Sunday, isn't it? And that celebration, that gets us through the week. That's why I can't understand people that are in the Secret Service that show up on Christmas and Easter. I need this more than once a week. I need this daily and more than once a day. Coming into the presence of God and understanding that I have nothing to bring. Nothing to bring. Everything I bring are filthy rags. They're just, you know, they might be the best that I got. But compared to perfection, they are extremely lacking. Amen? So repentance is so important. Living a life of understanding that, you know, it's hard to imagine this, but I'm going to tell you this is a little bit of history of the Lutheran Church. I mean, you're going to roll your eyes and go, oh boy. But the Lutheran Church, over the last 100 years, the biggest issues in the Lutheran Church, well, I shouldn't say that. The last 20 years have been kind of really bad, but like the 80 years before that, the biggest issue in the Lutheran Church was what color was the hymnal? Hard for us in this day and age with, you know, screens and all that to understand this. But it was, what color was the hymnal? Say, there are people that lived through this. These are the scars of the battles. Red, blue, green, no, red, no, blue, green, no, red. I mean, it was ridiculous. Satan was laughing. He was thinking, really? You think it's going to matter when we get to heaven? But it mattered to people because it mattered what we said and what we did. It mattered how what we said and what we did affected our lives. It mattered to people because they cared about whether we were saved by grace through faith. It mattered to people. And when the green hymnal came out, the one that we tend to use because the music's better, at least that's what Johannes has convinced me of, the one we use, the green one, there was a problem with that when it came out because it said something that is very much what we heard, what we hear Jesus saying. It said, we're slaves to sin and cannot free ourselves. And that caused a huge, I mean, I'm talking about my bishop when I was growing up, my bishop in the church I grew up in took a black marker and went through every green hymnal in his church, which was a large church. It was a large church because it was the seat of the diocese, right? And we didn't call it diocese, we called it synod, but anyways, whatever. He went through and he crossed it off it wasn't like it's a Sharpie, you know? It wasn't something you could erase. It wasn't pencil. He was determined that anybody that opened that book was never going to read that. Because he was concerned, and this has always been the struggle since the Reformation, is, are we spending too much time on the law? Are we spending enough time on the gospel? And he thought that if people read that, their hearts may be affected and they may not hear what comes next. They may fixate on the fact that we're slaves to sin, so we can't do anything about it, so we're just going to live this way. And have you ever found that if you couldn't please someone, you just decided, I'm not going to try? That's what I was sharing about the story of the project, right? Well, if I can't get credit for the work that I'm doing, I'm not going to try. And so he took a black Sharpie and he went through all of those hymnals. That must have took him a long time. And he crossed it off. Because that's how much he was concerned about words. And the power that they have if they're not in context. Brothers and sisters, we're here today because someone was willing to stand up and say, the truth is in the Word. And the Word has power. And the Word will set us free. The truth is, and that's why Jesus uses the word truth twice. Remember what I always say, if Jesus says something twice, listen. Truly, truly, I say to you. Slaves have no place in the family, but a son remains forever, right? So if the son sets you free, you're what? Free. I love that word indeed. Because in case you didn't hear it the first time, what is he saying? What does indeed do? It's like a huge exclamation point, right? It's like whenever I've written something, I want people to understand this is important, I capitalize it and I put multiple exclamation marks. Drives people like Johannes and others who are grammatical crazy. Okay? I don't know. Just drives them crazy. You're not supposed to use so many capitals. There's only so many capitals you're supposed to use in your life, and you used them the last two weeks. You know? He's telling me these things. But anyway, he's shaking his head, yep. But you know, if I want something to get across, I capitalize, I put exclamation marks. That's what indeed means. If Satan or the world or anybody else wants to tell you you're not a son or a daughter of the king, and you know you are because you were baptized, and you know you are because you're not trying to work it out on your own, you're not trying to do it on your own, you're at the mercy of Almighty God. He wants you to know you're free, and it's not just you're free, but you're free. You're not convincing me. It's not just that you're free, but you're free. Isn't that awesome? So when we confess our sins, when we're truly, sincerely sorry for what we've done, we don't just say, you know, that's the other reason we had these worship wars, I called them, because they were all debating on how wordy should the confession be. How wordy should we be? How direct should we be? Should we be more general? Because it may not be your sin. Maybe my sin. They always used to argue about, well, should the confession be too specific? I said, who cares? That's why, if you notice, sometimes I don't actually read it. I just ask you to let the Holy Spirit seek these things out in your heart and your mind so that whatever the sins are, you can confess them directly to God. You don't need us. You don't need the screen. You can, you know, because isn't that what we want? We want sincere repentance. We want total repentance. We want a recognition that but for the grace of God, we can do nothing. That everything we try to present to him are filthy rags. That there's nothing we bring to the cross. Everything is a gift from God. Because we want to know that, and this is really important because I want you to understand something. I mean, I'm going through an issue here with trust and stuff. And the thing that will always change my heart and what kept me in a situation where I believed things that I shouldn't have believed for a long time is I'm really, really concerned that everything be sincere. So I'll tell you something. Someone said something about, well, why do you want to have a church on campus? I said, because the younger generation is amazing. Some of you who have been in college for a few years are saying, well, we're not the younger generation anymore. You still are in my books. I'm a grandpa. I can say this. The younger generation is amazing because they are all about authenticity and sincerity. And that's something that I think is a wonderful blessing. So may we be sincere with God. May we be sincere with one another. May we stand here as sinners, condemned by our own actions, and yet as saints receiving the grace of God and being made holy by his blood. Because if the Son sets you free, you're free.
Indeed.
Amen.